Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
Today I want to turn to John chapter 2, and as you're turning there, it'll come up on the screen in just a second. You know, excuse me, as I've been thinking about Citygate, we're halfway through the year. Time flies when you're having fun, yeah? Yes. Lots of fun. Church has got to be fun. Church has got to be full of joy. I really think God wants to set some people free from a spirit of heaviness. You know, they stand there in the worship with this horrendous look on their face. Just being blunt. You know, here we are worshiping the King of Kings, and it's like, I feel dead, and I look dead, and everything's gone wrong in my, I've just got a lot to complain about. And I think, come on, it's time to set your mind on things above. It's time to take your eyes off of what's going on around you. And it's absolutely a core Christian skill. I call it a skill to know how to do that. You open your mouth and start saying something. You lift your hands when you don't want to. You start to dance when you don't feel like it. Because things are only going to get worse. Oh, there, come to Citygate and be told things are going to get worse. I'm not talking about your life. I'm talking about life in general. It's only going to get worse. Thank God, God is a God of mercy and grace. Otherwise, a lot of stuff would have burnt up by now. I mean, if Sodom and Gomorrah didn't, you know, Gomorrah didn't stay long. It's only because of the cross that there is now a flood of mercy on the planet, because God is merciful. He's a good God. The Bible is not willing, you know, God says he's not willing that anybody perishes, but everybody comes to a knowledge of the truth. Everybody. And that's why we got to live a wide open life, a life displaying the goodness of God. You know, all the time now. Oh, no, let's just get back to what I'm preaching. Revival's in the air, amen? But you know, Citygate is a, as I've been thinking about Citygate, the last 6 months and the last few years and the incredible salvations we're seeing. People coming to Christ and absolutely turning their lives, being turned upside down and inside out. Because that's the power of the gospel. So what happens when you give your life to Christ? Everything's recreated on the inside. You become a brand new person. And what happens is largeness is sort of deposited in your spirit. This is a big place. Hello. It's a big place. I don't mean the walls. It's a big place. The kingdom is a big kingdom. It's a big place. It's diverse, it's varied, and yet it's unified. It's really, really hard to think small in a place like this. You've got to work hard at it. To think small in a big environment. You know, some people you hang around, and it's like, you feel like a prune. Ever had a prune? Ever seen a prune? Sultana is a grape gone wrong, yeah? Okay, you might like sultanas, but is it a grape to a sultana or a grape to a currant? Or are they both the same? I don't know, whatever. You know, God wants us to be grapes, making the best wine. Hello? And yet life will shrivel you down to be a currant or a sultana. Never thought of that before. An inspired thought. You gotta work hard to think unbelief in a place of faith. You gotta really be really committed to resentment and unforgiveness in a place where people forgive one another. Some people you hang around, they'll force you into their mold of unbelief, unforgiveness, hatred, depression, rejection. Because that's their environment. Have you ever got, I don't know, I'm feeling very horticultural today. If you've got a banana, a black banana, it's gone black, it's gone, oh, doesn't it affect all the others in the, yeah? See, I'm just anointed today. This is amazing. Don't be the one banana. Don't be the one banana that affects everybody else backwards. You got to work hard. You got to work hard to think small in a big place. Got to do it on purpose. Doesn't happen by accident. Why don't you be a part of the bigness? Hello? Yeah, be a part of the possibilities, the opportunities, the faith, the stuff that is going to happen. And here we find in John chapter 2, on the third day, marriage takes place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, everybody say, when the wine was gone. Yeah, check. No more wine, gone. They'd drunk it all. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mum said to him, they have no more wine. She is... That's a loaded statement. There's no more wine. And he says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time's not yet come. His mum said to the servants, completely ignoring him, she's still his mum. Do whatever he tells you. I love this. Do whatever he tells you. Verse 6, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used for washing. This is bath water, guys. Not used, they pour it out. So it's not poured, but they don't wash and pour it back in the things, just to say. But each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet, he tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though his servants who had drawn the water, they knew. And he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now. Isn't that awesome? You saved the best. Everybody say the best. Look at someone, say the best. Not the average. Not the second best. Not the worst. Not Sainsbury's special. No offense, Sainsbury's, don't sue me. But we're talking about the best wine. Everybody say the best wine. Now, I like a Malbec, but it's better than that. Hello? It's better than that. It's the best wine until, come on, now. Look at someone say now. Best until now. See, you can have what you say. This was the first of the miraculous signs that Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, and he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. He revealed his glory. You know, God reveals his glory when he does something amazing. God wants to show his glory. The Bible actually says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Therefore, they've got to be seeing something that is glorious. I think that's the church. We're the glorious church. Amen? Amen. Today, I want to speak on God's best for your life. God's best for my life. God is a best sort of a God. This sort of, I think sometimes sort of upsets a religious mind who thinks that God does some bad stuff. God doesn't do bad stuff, God does good stuff because God's a good God. You know, isn't it interesting? All the people that don't believe in God, when something bad happens, they call it an act of God. Floods and tsunamis and earthquakes and lightning strikes, an act of God. When something good happens, oh no, there's no God. Isn't it amazing what the devil has done to paint a picture that God is the God of all the bad stuff and that the devil is the devil of all the fun stuff? You see, God's best for my life is because God is the best, God has the best, and God gives the best. God is the best. Now, let's just clarify. He is the only God. He's the only one. He's not another option. There is no salvation in anybody else than Jesus Christ. Jesus himself. Jesus is not another option to being good or to being religious or to being whatever other religion. No, Jesus said, I'm the only way to eternal life, to be with God the Father forever and ever. The only way. Otherwise, he didn't have to come. If you could have got it through Hinduism, if you could have got it through Buddhism, if you could have got it through humanism, if you could have got it through self-belief, if you could have got it any other way, Jesus didn't have to come. But he said, you need this salvation because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by faith in Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is God is so good. When Jesus came, you know, the Bible says this, in a statement about his life, how Jesus Christ was empowered by the Holy Spirit and he went about doing good and healing everybody from oppression from the enemy. What a great statement about his life. Did you notice there's nothing bad in there? Did you notice that? There's only good in that statement. And that's the statement of what they preached throughout the whole book of Acts. How God the Father empowered with God the Holy Spirit onto God the Son, who went about doing good, healing everybody, setting people free. Why? Because God is the best God. Amen. I'm going to encourage you guys today. If you want it, if you don't want to be encouraged, just sort of, I don't know, go swipe again. Go on to Facebook or whatever. That'll surely not encourage you. I want to encourage you today. All of the abilities, all of the character are the best there is for any moment that God turns up. When God turns up, the best turns up. Why is his grace the best? Because it's the best there is. Why is faith the best? Because it's the best there is. Why is joy the best? Because it's the best there is. These things work. They are the best. This is who God is. Nothing else comes close. Nothing else comes close to the best of our God. And the encouraging thing is that God's best is not behind me. It's not behind me. A lot of people live their life looking back at what they think was the best. Wasn't it great in that season? Wasn't it great when? Wasn't it great? And they think back and they're trapped in their past. They're trapped in what happened before. And they've allowed themselves to get into some kind of deception, actually, that it's like it was better back then. Isn't it funny? We live life through rose tinted glasses. I was hearing something about happiness the other day. Now, our God is a God of joy. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness has entirely to do with your circumstances. Mishaps, perhaps, happy, happen. It's all about a hap, which is a circumstance. When good things happen, we're happy. When bad things happen, we're unhappy. When happens go wrong, it's a mishap. When happens might occur, it's a perhaps. Yeah? I'm so glad I don't live my life on a hap. Aren't you glad? I don't live my life dependent on what's going on in the economy, what's, you know, who's in number 10. I don't live my life as to what's going on in the NHS. I don't live my life depending on what's going around me. I got something far stronger because it's the best there is, and it's the joy of the Lord on the inside. It's the best there is. Some Christians need to make a decision. I'm done with happiness. I'm going to live from this better place of joy. Amen. Come on, you're getting something this morning. It's a better place. God's best for my life. It means I've got to change my mind. The best is not behind me. Oh, but Pastor Jay, let me show you. No, I don't want to know, actually. Because if you keep showing me what was, that's where you're going to live the rest of your life. And today I want to move some people into the now. Everybody say the now. Because God's best is now. Now, we're grateful for all the things that God has done in the past. Of course we are. We forget not all the benefits, but you certainly forget all the issues. Get them gone. Don't hang on to them. Don't keep them alive in your mind, but keep talking about them. God's best is not behind me. I refuse to live life in a rear view mirror. I refuse. Oh, this isn't very deep today, Pastor Jay. No, but it's freeing. Yes. It's freeing. Don't live life in the rear view mirror. So you made a mistake. Well, if you repented, turned around, changed your mind and moved forwards, then you're free from it. Hello? You're free from it. The enemy will want to keep reminding you about it. Some of your old friends will want to keep reminding you about it. Sometimes you just got to delete some people off of your phone. Yes. Yes. Just get them gone. Yes. Get them gone. When I first gave my life to Christ, I spent like 2 or 3 years doing everything I could to see some people come to Christ. And some of them did and some of them didn't. And I did everything I could. The first night after I got saved, I went down the pub I used to go to. I literally stood on the table because everybody knew me down there with my orange hair and my chains and my safety pins, and they all knew me. And I stood up the night after I got saved, or the Wednesday, I think it was, 2 nights after I got saved, 2 nights. Stood on the pub table, told them all about Jesus. I'm not encouraging you to do that. But, you know, people need to see some faith in your life and some expectation and some of God's best. But if we keep living in the rearview mirror, if we keep hanging around the people that are going to keep pulling you back, speaking to somebody just this week, spent about, I don't know, half an hour with somebody who's tag on his leg and been in and out of prison for, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years. His dad's in prison, his brother's in prison, everyone's in flipping prison. And he's in a certain part of London and just needed to get out of his environment. Said, 'cause if I go there, I'll probably end up knifing someone again. Just got to get out of my environment where my past was. Hello? Said, because I know what's going to happen if I stay over there. Yeah? You with me? Yes. You can have the same old sickness. You can have the same old depression. You can have the same old rejection. You can live in the same old offense. You can live in all this same old stuff if you keep going back and looking life in the rearview mirror. But I believe God's best is in the now. But Pastor Jay, I've been through a divorce. Yeah, happened in the past. You need to leave it behind and move into the now. Now, we're here to help with this stuff. We're not just saying get over it, but we are saying you can be victorious over it. And you got to move forward. You got to do it. You got to get out of the past. No matter how horrendous or what happened, there is power in the name of Jesus to set you free from the bad of the past. And sometimes you need to be set free from the good of the past. Are you getting anything today, yeah? Because you got to come into the now. So God's best is not behind me. Also, God's best is not just for others. God's best is not just for others. A lot of people have this. Often it's attention seeking. I just need to be blunt with that sometimes. I need to be blunt. Often when people are like, oh, it's for everybody else, it's all right for them. You just want attention. You don't know it, but that's where that's coming from. Because that's a victim statement. And when you start talking like a victim, you just want attention. That's what you want. I feel like saying to some people, there's somebody, a conversation that was going on the other day, and I felt like saying, do you actually want to be free? Or do you want to hang on to all the hurt that you seem to want to live in today? God's best is not just for other people. It's not just for other, it's all right for them. Oh, they had the opportunity, I didn't. Well, hang on a minute. If it comes down to opportunity, we're all screwed. Except for a few handful elite people that just happened to be born at the right time in the right place, right sex, right color, right parents. Hello, if it comes down to that, then this salvation, I'm sorry, means nothing. Because God is no respecter of persons, amen? If he's done it for one, he'll do it for all.
Yes.
I hope you're being encouraged today, because I sometimes need to say things as they are. God's best is not just for other people. If that's where you're thinking, it's time to fill your mouth with the promises of God for your own life. Amen. Can we give God some praise right now? Because this is really, really important. God's best is not just for other people, that it's all right for them mentality. Everybody else, the Bible says, in the passage there, the man was amazed, said, everybody else does it like this. Good wine first, then the cheaper wine. But you've done it the opposite way round. You know, God does things seemingly backwards, but they're actually the right way around. It's always backwards and opposite to the way the world does stuff. Never use the world as the plumb line as the right way to do things, because they do it backwards. It wasn't the kingdom that was backwards here. He was doing it the right way. And so often we can think, it's all right for everybody else. Look at how they're doing it. Well, hang on a minute. I'm glad I'm in the kingdom. And it might look completely different from what's going on with everybody else. But I'm going to come out with the best wine. I'm going to come out on top every time. 1,100 bottles, actually. That's a lot of wine. So God's best is not just behind me. God's best is not just for others. God's best, come on, is for me. Can we all say that? God's best is for me. Now, can we say it with a bit of faith and zeal and expectation? God's best is for me. It's for me. And I'm excited about this. As I look through my life, I'm thinking God's got his best for me. Not his second best. Not his average, not his leftovers. He's got the best wine, hallelujah. He's got the best life. He's got the best marriage for me. He's got the best kids for me. He's got the best business for me. He's got the best health in my body for me. He's got the best peace in my mind for me. He's got the best joy in my spirit for me. He's got the best faith to move that mountain for me, not for them, for me, hallelujah. He's got the best that I need in any situation. I don't need what you got, because I get the best from God. Hallelujah. I get the best from my God. God's best is for me. So another challenge, don't settle for second best. good friend of mine was believing God for when they were pioneering a church and they were living, it was in the tough days, and he was up in Glasgow, some of the tough areas up there, and it's like they were just believing God for everything. Some of us don't know what it is to believe God for everything, but they did. And they were believing God for shoes and for different things, and it was a long time ago, 35 years ago, 30 years ago, and they were believing God for some bikes for their kids. In fact, for their daughter, one bike for their daughter. And somebody came round and said, "Oh, I was just thinking about you, and I just got this bike I want to give you." And it was a bit rusty here and there, cast off. Nothing wrong with cast off. Come on, hand-me-downs, no issue with that. Hello? My kids have grown up with hand-me-downs. So did I. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, at that age, they're wearing them for 2 weeks. And then they grow out of them. Yeah. You are dumb if you're buying new stuff. Yeah. Can I say it? Seriously. Yeah. You know what I'm hearing a lot of? Oh, we can't afford to have children. That's because you think dumb. Yeah. You're buying new stuff when you don't need to buy new stuff. Yeah. Hello? Because they wear it for 2 weeks. Yeah. Or a month. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, all you mums get together and you swap clothes around, don't you, for the babies, yeah? Do you still do that? Yeah, I should hope so. It's good. Nothing wrong with that. That's not a poverty mentality. That's being a good steward. Hello? But somebody brought around the bike. It was a bit rusty and it was a bit... Because it was like it had been well used. And with every bit of grace on the inside of him, he said, "Thank you so much for your generosity, but I won't be taking this bike. Thank you very much." However he said it. Because he knew something rose up on the inside and said, "God's got the best for my daughter." And he just kept on standing for another few days or weeks, and somebody gave him a brand new bike for his daughter. You know what? Don't accept. You've just heard everything I've said about this balance and this what. Don't accept second best. Hello?
Yes.
Don't accept second best. God is a best God. God is a best God. He's got the best for your life. Don't have a second best. Don't have an average mentality. Don't have a spiritual hand-me-down mentality in that wrong way. You see, God's best for me is not dependent on my ability. God's best for me is dependent on God's ability, on his ability. Sometimes God's best for your situation, this will mess with some people's thinking, I think, but sometimes God's best for our situation is quite simply when the dust settles, we're still standing. Isn't it interesting, talking about the house on the rock and the house on the sand? Yeah, wise man builds his house upon a rock. Same floods come, same storms beat the house, but that house stands. God's best for that house at that time was not that he stopped the storm and stopped the flood. His best is, at the end of it all, still standing. Now, God is a storm stopper. Peace be still. But sometimes God's best is you're just still standing and you're unshakable in life. That's God's best for your moment. Can I hear an amen? You get something out of this today. This is awesome. It's important with God's best that you're putting a demand on your inheritance. This is where some people, again, they sort of, especially if they've been brought up in a religious environment. Religious environment that, oh God, if you want to kill me, just kill me. If you want to break my leg, just break my leg and teach me to be humble. It's like, dear God, what Bible have they read? Well, the answer is they haven't actually. They haven't read the Bible. It's important to place a demand, not from a place of arrogance, but from a place of faith, on the inheritance that you have in Christ. You know, there was something, do you remember the prodigal son? he goes off and ends up sleeping, you know, with the muck and the pigsties and whatever else. And yet there's the other son who gets all upset. What's going on here? He went off and he's come back. You put a ring on his hand, robes on him, sandals on his feet. You kill the fatted calf for the prodigal son who went up and messed up, went off and squandered everything on riotous living, the Bible says. What did the father say? Son, the one who stayed around, everything I have is yours. There was a learning opportunity for both of those sons. One was, don't mess up, but if you do, come back and you'll be received back, and the father hugs you. The father fell on him and kissed him and received him back and said, my son was dead, he's now alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And that seems to be all that anybody ever preaches. Now, absolutely, that's central to that story. But the other one was, there was another son who didn't realize what he had. He didn't know what he had. And it's so important as believers, as faith people, as people who are sons and daughters of God, that we know that we're robed. We know we've got a ring on our finger. We know we got the shoes of the gospel of peace. We know that we got the armor of God. We know that we got the garments of praise. We know that our garments are washed and dipped in the blood of Jesus. We know that we're set free. We know that we're cleansed, and we can walk in the authority that we have. We sang earlier today, God, we echo your authority. In Jesus' name, mountains bow down. In Jesus' name, poverty get out of my life. In Jesus' name, no sickness is going to get my body. In Jesus' name, my marriage is blessed. In Jesus' name, my kids are taught of the Lord, and great is the peace of my children. Come on, God's best for our life often comes down to, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to lay hold of it, I'm going to get it, I'm going to confess it, I'm going to walk in it, I'm going to stand on it, and devil, I'm going to kick you out. You're going to have no place in my circumstances or in my life. Come on, let's give God some praise in the house today. Lay hold on your inheritance. Lay hold on what God has for your life. So many things. I've got pages and notes here. Your life is a masterpiece being painted. Have you ever seen those things where people start to paint something and you think, what the heck is that? And then they do something like turn it upside down. And it's like, woo! We went to see Despicable Me 4 this week. Come on, I love a minion. Ah, seriously, I reckon that was a divinely inspired thought when somebody invented those minions. They're just brilliant. They're such fun. I just laugh and laugh. I've got a T-shirt. I'm going clubbing, and it's a minion with a club. Minions are just brilliant. They're great. We've got a collection of minions at home, from big cardboard cutout things to little. Just minions are fun. So we went, and you know what, if you go and see the Marvel films or whatever, there's always an after clip. Some people leave before the after clip. Some people make the decision on your life, but they've not seen the after clip. Some people make a decision on your painting, but they've not seen the masterpiece yet. God is an amazing God who doesn't finish until his best comes through. Doesn't finish. God has not finished with your life. Whether it's a masterpiece in the mating, in the painting, whether it's an after clip, when everybody else thinks it's all over, you're still standing. You know, the amount of times we've been the only ones left in the cinema and we've watched all the screen go, and Stephen's going, there's an after clip. I go, are you sure? And he goes, there's an after clip. So now it's just a habit. We always wait just to see if there is one. I'm not going to tell you. For Despicable Me 4, you'll have to find out yourself. But God's not finished. What's important to understand is God's best gets better with time. Gets better with time. I'm going to carry on next week with this because there's some really important stuff to come about what time does. But what's important that we understand God's best gets better with time. You see, God's greatest, God's best doesn't come overnight. It comes over time. It comes over time. We have a microwave mentality, which means people are leaving not even before the after clip, but halfway through the film. Because it's not happened yet. Got bored with your life. If you're bored with your Christianity, it's time to come back and see that joy of your salvation back flooding through your life. How can the Christian life ever be boring? There's people to love. There's people to serve. There's people to see come to Christ. How can that be a boring? It's only boring if you're selfish. That's another message. Shall I leave that one alone? Yeah, okay. You see, you can only live life forwards. You can only live life forwards. You can't live life backwards. You can only go forwards because time is time. But you can only understand life backwards. Makes sense when you look back on it. You with me? And most of the time, I've seen God's best come through. God's best is now, but I also know God's best is in the future. God's best for me is right now, but there's better coming. Hello? I'm in God's best right now because God is the best. He has the best and he gives the best. But God's best is coming if you wait. And if you just keep walking. Something that we've got to learn are delays are not denials. We've all heard this 1,000 times, I'm sure. Delays are not denials. Sometimes God steps in before the situation. Wonderful when he does. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Sometimes you don't even know there was an accident happening because he moved you around and took you another route of life. I thank God all the time for the things that I've been saved from that I don't know anything about. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Seriously. Seriously. I thank God all the time for, Lord, I don't know because I can't see. I'm not omnipresent, omniscient. I'm not, you know, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end time. But I know there are so many things in my life that I've avoided because God moved in before. And kept me from whatever it was that was going to take me out. Sometimes God turns up in the middle of the fire. Fourth man in the fire. And when God does that, the bonds are loosed and the handcuffs are burnt off. When Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were in the fire and God turned up in the fire. Not before the fire, he didn't save them beforehand, but in the middle of it, he saved them. Said, the fire's not going to burn you. I wonder if they were, when's he going to do it? When's he going to do it? When's he going to do it? Because they said, you know what? We will not bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. We're not going to do that. Our God will save us. God, bat now. Bat now would be the right time for that. God will save us. God will save us. I hope he turns up in a minute because that fire is killing the people that started it. It's so hot. About now would be good, God. But can I just say God's best was at work? Just think of the two testimonies. Something happened in that situation before the fire, or something happening in the fire. We have the testimony now of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fourth man in the fire, which was God's best for that moment. Sometimes God diverts beforehand. Sometimes he turns up in the fire. Sometimes he turns up when all the wine has run out. Jesus, you're all knowing. You would have known that the wine was going to run out. Why didn't you just make it so it didn't run out? Save all that stress. Save all that upset. Why didn't you do it when you knew it was about to run out? Why did we get to the situation that all the wine had gone? There's no hope. Well, perhaps it's because we need to know today that even if it's over, it ain't over. I love it when I know I've been saved from stuff that never got near me. I love it when I'm in the middle of a fire and I'm not getting burned. Been there many times. All hell is breaking loose and I'm just in a glory bubble. Ever been there? That's a wonderful place to be. But I also love it when it's gone past midnight. See, I'm not going to promise you today that God's going to save you at 1 minute to midnight. Sometimes the wine runs out. Sometimes the things happen. Why? Because God's the God of the turnaround. He will take the thing that's dead, not about to die, dead, to bring it to life. Lazarus, why didn't you go and heal him of the sickness 4 days ago and he wouldn't have died? Isn't that what Martha said? If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I believe, and she went off into some religious whatever. And Jesus turned up and he started to pray in the Holy Ghost and stir up someone on the inside. And everybody saw a 4-day-old corpse come out of a tomb, loose him and let him go. God's best, come on, is always now. Did you get anything out of that today? Come on, let's stand to our feet, shall we? See, sometimes you got to wait for it. The waiting will wear you out sometimes. Wear you out. Have you ever seen those people? I don't know why you would ever want to do this, but you know, you've got athletes. Just about to have the Olympics happening, I think, and you've got athletes and they hurdles and sprinting and whatever else. Amazing. Javelin. I used to throw the javelin. Discus and all that stuff. And then you have these people that have a bright idea. I'm going to do a world record of holding a brick. Did you know there's a world record of how long somebody held a brick and how far they walked with it? And I don't know, if you hold something like that, that'll start to ache after just a few minutes, unless you practice. And some people have got these like world records in holding bricks, walking around with a brick. Anybody in here could hold a brick for 5 seconds, an hour. But even holding the smallest thing, the lightest thing, is going to wear you out if you just keep carrying it. Oh, but it's only a little thing. Yeah, but it'll wear you out if you keep carrying it. Cast all your burdens. All of them, not just the heavy ones, not just the big ones. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, and they may run who read it. The vision's for an appointed time, though it tarries, wait for it. There's such a power in the waiting. God's best is now, but there's probably an afterclip. God's best is now, but the masterpiece isn't finished yet. Come on, let's lift our hands. Father, we thank you today for the fact that you are the God of the best. Because you are the best, you have the best, you do the best, you give the best. And Lord, in your hands, our lives will be the best. Father, we thank you that you're at work in our lives. Thank you for the things you've saved us from that we never know about. Amazing. Thank you for the times you show up in the fire. And the fire is the very thing that you use to burn up the shackles. And not a hair on our head is singed. But thank you, Lord, for the times where you come in where everything's run out. And you say, now let me show you what I can do. So, Father, we lay hold of the best today. That there is your best for each and every life in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise today, shall we? Hallelujah. There are people here today, God's best for your life starts with today that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Quite simply, I said a lot of things earlier about believing that he's your Savior, believing in God. But no, come on, as it comes down to it, it's receiving Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Friend, will you receive Jesus as your Lord? Will you give your life to him? There are people in this room today, perhaps you've never done that. Perhaps you say, well, I believe in God, but it's time that he becomes your boss, your Lord, your King. Every Sunday, we give people the opportunity to respond to this offer of eternal life. Because that's what the offer is. It's an eternity with Almighty God in heaven forever. And a life in abundance here on earth. Abundant joy, abundant faith, abundant peace. And that reflects out into our life of authority over life circumstances, whether that's what's going on around us, what's going on in our physical body, what's going on in our mind, what's going on in our finances. Being under the lordship and the fantastic, amazing love and power of Almighty God changes every part of your life. But it begins with a humility that says, Jesus, I need a Savior. I need to be saved. I need a brand new life to start from this very moment. I need to be born again. I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you are here today and you know you need to respond to this message today and say, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Or perhaps you're here today and you know that you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I sing the songs, I do the things, but really, this is not alive in me. I really need to come alive. I need to come back into the place where Jesus is my Lord and Savior in a reality in my daily life. And this is a day of significant decision for me, whether it's a first-time decision or you're coming back to God with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do one thing with a confidence and with a humility in your life, but with every ounce of faith you got in there, and that is to lift your hand right now in this auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anybody else here today? Come on, people responding. Online, will you respond with me? If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please, I'd love you to just message in the chat right now and say, I'm receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Is there anybody else here today? You're here on purpose, friend. You're not here by accident. Don't let this moment pass you by. God has promised that he will come into your life as you open the door of your heart. He will come in and he will give you a brand new start in life. God bless you. Wonderful. Is there anybody else here today? Come on, this is a moment not to ignore. Is there anybody else? Last time as I look across, let's all say this prayer, those that have responded and those of us who prayed this 1,000 times. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross to give me life. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, my friend, by the help of your grace and your power. I'll never be the same again. I receive eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise and celebrate today. Wonderful.